head and you get upset with that, make yourself worse. You can break this vicious cycle. Log on to FHU.com and read Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome. We all have it. Listen to my radio program, Advice Line, live streaming on FHU.com 10 to midnight Pacific time and on over 100 stations. For my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, call 866-RADIO-ROY. I'm Roy Masters.
The Mill Creek Hotel in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin is the perfect romantic getaway. In the heart of it all and just steps away from Lake Geneva's finest dining, shopping, and nightlife. Just one block from beautiful Lake Geneva itself, you will enjoy wonderful sunset views from all of our private covered balconies in the gold rooms, or in the unit itself from five large windows in the premier platinum rooms. Each oversized luxury one-bedroom unit at the Mill Creek Hotel includes your very own two-person hot tub, fully equipped kitchen, a private bedroom, two televisions, queen-size sleeper sofa, and a gas fireplace. Add our special romance package to your reservation and surprise that special someone with a weekend they will never forget. Call the Mill Creek Inn at 1-800-421-6834 or go online at www.millcreekhotel.com. Mill Creek Hotel also provides complimentary private covered parking. Truly an oasis in downtown Lake Geneva. That's 1-800-421-6834.
What do you want from life? More energy? Better nutrition? Perhaps to lose some weight and address specific health concerns? Call Jack Davis, independent Herbalife distributor, right now and ask for a free Herbalife product catalog and DVD. 847-888-8280. All natural and herbal-based, Herbalife supplements have been designed by some of the world's top scientists and doctors. Call now, 847-888-8280. There's a brand new look to the Radio Shopping Show.
WRMN1410.com.
Fine dining, travel, entertainment, and more all in one place.
WRMN1410.com.
Roadshow schedules, featured items, and Radio Shopping Show rules.
WRMN1410.com.
Go to www.WRMN1410.com now for all your Radio Shopping Show information. The Radio Shopping Show, the most amazing show on the radio. Heard only on WRMN AM 1410.
The original Electrolux has been American-owned and made since 1924, and it's a name your parents and grandparents have trusted. Stop replacing your vacuum every year and invest in an Electrolux vacuum. Stop in and mention WRMN and receive a 10% discount. Located in Hanover Park on Barrington Road next to Lover's Lane or on Route 14 just west of the river in Cary, Electrolux has a full line of floor care services available. Stop in either Showroom Cary or Hanover Park and be sure you purchase the original Electrolux. Your grandma would be proud.
Salagadoola, metchigapoola, bibbidi-bop.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh. Does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
In the next 59 seconds, our goal is to turn non-environmentalists into environmentalists. To that end, we've gotten a family of beavers and put kazoos in their mouths. And also, we're handing the microphone over to a moose. After all, what better spokesman for the environment than animals themselves? Take it away, moose. Cue the beavers. Still rolling? All right, cut it out. Well, that wasn't very motivating, but if that didn't make you an environmentalist, maybe money will. For example, Keeping your car regularly tuned and responding to the check engine light will make your car more efficient, which means cleaner air and less money spent on gas and repairs. For more ways to get green, go to getgreen.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Alliance for Clean Air and Transportation, and Environmental Defense.
Pompeii Restaurant is an authentic Italian restaurant that has been serving up three generations of quality Italian cuisine. Their exquisite menu includes everything from delectable pizza strudels, hand-rolled pizza, hand-cut pasta, to chicken or Caesar salad, and of course, the Taylor Street cheesecake topped with raspberry sauce. Pompeii Restaurant is open 7 days a week and serves lunch and dinner. For catering, pickup, delivery, or dine-in reservations, call 847-619-5001. For more information, visit their website at PompeiiPizza.com.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. And with me, as per usual, is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. Nice to see you.
Good seeing you.
Kind of cold out there compared to last week.
Oh, it's all right, though. I'd rather, you know, I love the snow. I'm glad we got hit.
Good, good.
I love the snow. I love to be able to cross-country ski in it. And it's the in-between weather I hate. The cold 40-degree, 35-degree rain.
Oh, yeah?
And that.
Okay.
Give me warm or give me cold.
Well, the only thing I don't like about the snow is the days where you have to drive in it. Other than that, those few hours before or after the snowstorm, I love the snow as well. Skiing, sledding, tubing, whatever you want to do.
Right. Watching the kids having fun in it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, the driving's not cool. That's true.
Yeah, that's the only time I don't like it.
Also, it's not cool is how Lovie Smith continues to hold on to this ridiculous notion that Rex Grossman's a quarterback.
Well, what is Lovie going to do if he puts in Greasy and Greasy does worse? Not that you can do worse than Grossman.
I don't think you can.
Think you can either.
Except for those first four games of the season, I don't know what. They just didn't know him. I guess the league didn't know him then or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
how that happened. But he's horrible.
Yeah, he's not looking good. And he's
the only quarterbacks that were worse were actually the Minnesota quarterback.
Brad Johnson. Yeah, he was no good either.
Oh.
Unbelievable. There's one play in particular where Grossman threw it down the field for a long pass. That was intercepted, of course.
Right.
And he had two open receivers in the flats. They showed them, and they were wide open.
Right.
You're talking that 10- or 15-yard gain. He's going for the big touchdown and throws it up in the air.
That's he doesn't have the vision.
Something's missing.
He doesn't have the vision. He had also, I think it was Musaad Muhammad for a touchdown on one, too.
I remember that one, too. It was the stop-and-go route.
It was wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. Had at least four steps on the defender.
And he threw it amongst two or three defenders.
Yep. Uh-huh. You don't see professional quarterbacks doing that.
I was telling my wife we were watching the game. I said, the defense would come in. I'd say, all right, our offense is in again.
Yeah, we're going to score now.
Yeah. I mean, they might as well punt. The one commentator mentioned that maybe they should just punt on first down. I think that's probably a good move for the Bears.
Not too bad. In fact, if you looked at the stats, probably the defense has scored 66% of the points this year.
Yeah,
or the special teams.
Special teams. That run back, that punt run back. Unbelievable.
That's his fourth of the year. That breaks an NFL record, I think, or at least ties one.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible. He was dead to rights. There were four
guys
Vikings
surrounding him. Yep. Gotta love them Vikings. Yeah, go Bears. And
so they're 10-2 now, and they've clinched the division.
10-2, they've clinched, and I still would like to see them run more often because their running game is looking great.
It's looking great.
Benson's averaging almost 5 yards a carry, and Jones has that breakaway capability, and he averages over 5 yards a carry as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a great running attack, and yeah, that touchdown run by Benson was nice.
Absolutely.
I was glad to see that.
So don't fold on the Bears' offense quite yet. Just give the ball,
Just give the ball and just pass it on the floor. You know, just to keep them honest every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, run a play action every other down or whatever it takes. But, yeah, keep it in the hands of the running backs. Few fumbles. You know, you're not going to turn the ball over on the runnings as much as you are passing it, especially with Grossman.
Absolutely. They don't need the bomb.
Exactly.
In fact, actually, more ball control offense, I think it would make a lot more sense in this sense, too, to have Greasy start. And if the Bears are in trouble and you need the bomb, okay, bring in Grossman and roll the dice.
Yeah, absolutely. My fiance, who knows little or nothing about football, was watching the game with me, and she asked me about Grossman. She said, you know, what's his problem? What's going on? I said, well, maybe he just needs to learn a bit more. He needs to have a better view. And she goes, I thought this was professional football. This is not the learning stage. This is professional football. He should have learned that in college.
Yeah.
And like I said, she knows nothing about football, but she made a point that was right dead on.
Absolutely.
It's not a learning process. So, Grossman, you have to wake up, get with it, or, you know, give the ball to Greasy.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's move on.
Please.
Stupid regulation of the week. This is a proposed one in Great Britain. And, of course, in this country, we already have the government regulating where people can protest, so-called free speech zones. And as the previous Libertarian candidate for president, Michael Bardnarik, said, anywhere I stand is a free speech zone. But U.S. government attempting to make free speech zones in the United States. Now in Great Britain, the police there are proposing, it's not a law yet, they're proposing that they should be able to limit and control, edit the content of any protests so as not to incite riots, or so they say. This is really, really, really getting sad. This is right out of 1984, folks. It's absolutely incredible that something would even be attempted. Something like this kind of suggestion would be even attempted. It's just beyond the pale. It's amazing to me. And it's amazing that people aren't up in arms when they hear this stuff. Regulate the content of your protests? Oh, gee. Why even protest then? Why don't we just say there are no more freedoms, it's a police state, anything you do say or hear or eat or ingest or drink or act or interact must be regulated by government. You must first have permission, and then you can go about your life. Let's flat out say it. I mean, it's gotten so ridiculous. I don't see why we should make any ball, you know, why do we keep on pretending we have freedom in this world? United States and Great Britain supposed to be the mainspring of freedom in the world, and they're the ones seem like to be the most oppressive. It's just outrageous. Yeah, let's just ask permission for everything. Let's call it what it is. It's a police state. Forget, throw the, finally, let's just burn the Constitution. It's been shriveled up anyway. All right. We're going to have a guest today, Mark McCoy, the Libertarian candidate for governor this election, and we'll talk about a little bit about third party politics and what it's going to take to move this country in a libertarian direction. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program once again Mark McCoy, Libertarian candidate for governor. How you doing, Mark?
Morning, guys. Hey, Ken.
Well, we should have had the results from the state of Illinois by now for the official election results. Are we able to get those?
Well, apparently the state of Illinois must be hosting the election commission's part of the site at MySpace, because I can't get anything at all for like the past 4 days except teen porn pop-ups. So,
really?
My credit card is maxed out, and I still don't know how I did in the election. A couple jurisdictions did have, you know, some results up. They're sporadic. You can't really draw any kind of reasonable, you know, assumption from those sites. I've been going through the web last night trying to piece together some things. I'm putting a page up on my site called returns.html, but I don't have enough information there yet. So, like I said, I've been trying, and we got hit with a pretty good ice storm, as you guys probably got hit as well. But the Illinois state site is up, but the elections site is not up, and it hasn't been up since I don't know when.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe they have to jockey the results a little more yet. I don't. Who knows?
Yeah, they have to get Blagojevich to approve the final results.
So, to be honest with you, Mark. They're not going to be accurate anyway for writing candidate until we are strong enough, we as a party, Libertarian parties, are strong enough to have an election judge, an observer. We're not going to get accurate results. They're not going to count most of the write-in votes, I don't think.
No, and one of the guys down here with the Metro East Libertarians, he was an election judge. Who sat in on, I think it was some precinct in St. Clair County. And when they closed the polls, he did observe one of the more tenured election judges who have been doing this for like maybe 18 years. When they went to pull the vote totals and the vote ballots, she didn't count any of the write-ins. She just stuck them off someplace else. And he had to tell her, hey, you know, these are write-in votes. We need to do the write-in votes. And she says, well, no, this is for governor, or the guy was from Collinsville, and they don't apply here, so we're not going to count them. And he actually had to force her to count the doggone votes for that precinct. And this is just one precinct.
And see, he happened
county.
To be, that's my point, he happened to be there.
Yeah,
so how many precincts and how many counties aren't counting them at all?
Well, exactly. And nobody challenges these folks that we put so much trust in them. And I don't know, have you seen that documentary that's going around? Oh, well, it's not going around. I just caught it on HBO, Hacking Democracy.
No, I haven't.
This gal, it's about the Diebold voting machines and how the cards can be hacked. And they actually did a Diebold card hack, some computer guy, and nothing special about doing it. but they ran a dummy election where they had a predetermined, you know, the votes for each of the respective candidates on this ballot, and they completely flipped the results over to show that the guy who got one vote got like seven votes. And an election judge, I think it was in Ohio or something, witnessed this. One of the other election officials in that state witnessed it on the tape. She just breaks out in tears because she can't believe that it's that easy to manipulate, you know, the results of a vote tally.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is the state that we're in. The game is rigged. And aside from, you know, just being dismissed as an inconsequential party, the people in power are preserving their position because they're paying off the corporations. And I don't want to hear this, well, you're just being conspiracy theorists. Folks, it is happening. It's been shown that it can be done. And if it can be done at this level, it's being done at the higher levels.
There's no question of mine that they have the ability, and I think it's happened. I've seen instances, too many to even mention, of where certain candidates, libertarian candidates, were winning at 10 p.m. The computers go down, and they always go, for some reason, they always come back up about 2 a.m. or 2:30 in the morning, and the results are reverse.
Uh-huh.
From 60%, 40% in favor of the libertarian to 60%, 40% against. It's even the same margin. It's just amazing to me. It's like they can't even deviate from the script.
Right. They go in right to the computer when they're doing the tabulations. They can change it right there in the software. You know, if you get a misspelled word in Microsoft, you can do a spell check. Well, if you're losing the election, you can do a tyranny check and flip the results back over so you retain your office and the libertarian guy would lose.
Maybe we need some observers from Russia or Afghanistan or Iraq to monitor our elections.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can't trust them if you don't have a purple stain on your finger now. I mean, you know, if these people can hold free and open elections, and I'm not saying that theirs are even more any free and open than ours, but since they're not as the more technologically advanced they are, the more opportunity is for the people who control the technology to
right.
manipulate the results.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I talk to people about this, and there is no sense of outrage. They trust the system so implicitly. And they're so dismissive with you have anything better to worry about?
It's really sad. It's the media, the news media, the establishment news media has done a great job in brainwashing.
Yeah, it's
lack of a better term, brainwashing the American populace. And that everything is hunky-dory, and anytime anybody questions anything, yeah, you're a nutcase. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is, Mark. What would you say we got out of the campaign besides a few counted or not counted write-in votes?
Well, I did. The only redeeming outcome from the whole thing, I mean, for you know what a 30-day campaign can affect anyway, was finding out that there are a lot of people, a lot of libertarians out there. As far as just the ones that contacted me through the website, that feel like we do. I mean, they feel like it is getting to the point where there is no control over your government. All you can do is sequester and hunker down and hope to ride this out before we do become a full-fledged police state, as you said earlier. It's here. I mean, it just hasn't touched everybody yet. But Illinois is
It's here. It's here in kind, if not in degree, of the police states we may think about as for like the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. But yeah, it's all in place.
Yeah, well, I mean, when almost every aspect of your life is either regulated or determined to be either acceptable or not, or licensed by the government, and people you know willingly get into that lockstep, you know, oh yes sir, oh I got to have my papers. Well, here you go. You know, what have I got to hide? You know, who cares if they tap my phone? I'm not going to blow anything up. I mean, that's where we're at, and it's going to take. I don't know how quick it's going to happen at the ballot box. There needs to be libertarian people out there who are bucking the system, who are living outside of the establishment, and showing that it can be done, and not being afraid of the consequences when it happens, and then hopefully. When the media covers something like this, because they're going to cover it merely out of sensationalism, not because if there's anything righteous being done here, then they need to throw out that message that I don't have to submit, I don't have to comply, this is my life, I'm a sovereign individual. And hopefully people either, they'll take that message and they'll see this person putting himself out there in harm's way, or it's going to frighten them either more, and they'll pull back even further and sequester even more it's gonna have to come out. It's gonna have to find its own equilibrium. But I don't know. It's got, from the grassroots activist position. That's where the battle has to begin.
I agree with you totally, Mark. I that's what we need. I think we need a lot more activists, and a lot more grassroots activists, before we even consider running serious political campaigns. To be honest with you. How we get there, I'm not sure. It's going to take a lot more education, real, true education. It would seem to me a little bit of history in the school system of the founding fathers should help, I would think, and give some people some courage.
Well, they give you just a superficial exposure to the founding fathers. They don't say that these guys were enemies of the state, terrorists, seditionists, you know, traitors.
Right.
They just say that, they were, they built America, and aren't they great, but don't follow in their footsteps.
No, absolutely not.
You know, when you go picking up a gun to confront the government coming to take you away for an administrative infraction, because, I mean, come on, let's be honest, we don't have to obey anybody but ourselves. Anything the government says that we must do, that's not a law. We don't have to do anything that they tell us to do. We don't have to license ourselves to travel down the roads in our own private vehicles. But because of the men with guns and, you know, the power and the money behind it to enforce that edict, people cave. And I don't know what my plans for office are going to be, but I'm being even more aggressive from the activist position now and taking on some pretty big issues. And I may be going to jail. I don't know how long they'll lock me up for, but I went to court the other day up to the St. Clair County Courthouse because they sent me it wasn't an order to show cause, it just said show cause, because I allegedly had gotten a traffic ticket that I did not show up in court for. And I went up to the clerk's office and I said, I'd like to see the file that this number is referencing. And she says, well, there is no file. We have it all on computer now. And I said, well, you have no file. I said, this ticket that you say I received and didn't show up in court for is not filed. It isn't verified and signed by the prosecuting attorney. Oh, no. And she pulls up on the computer, and there's a scanned image of this ticket I was supposed to have received. And she points to the screen, and she says, is this you? I says, no, ma'am, that's a scanned image of a ticket on a computer screen. And she goes, well, was this your name where you were driving this vehicle at this place on this road? I said, I don't have a photographic memory. I don't know where I was on that day. And she says, well, all I can tell you is that if you want to be found innocent, you have to come to court on this day. Otherwise, they will issue a warrant for your arrest, pull you over on the road, and impound your vehicle. And I said, well, you're wrong on two points. One, they're not going to impound my vehicle. They're going to steal my vehicle because if they impound it, they have lawful authority to impound it. But if they take it without that authority, they're stealing it. Secondly, I don't go to court to be found innocent of anything. I'm already innocent. The only time people go to court is to be found guilty. And I am not going to go to court to be found guilty. And she just did not get it. I mean, it got to a shout.
Oh, you're way over her head, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, they had to bring a supervisor over. Then I had four gals yelling at me behind his desk.
Do they conference at any point during this?
They huddle? Yeah, they when they took their respective standing eight over at the supervisor's desk and tried to figure out whether or not they needed to call security or not. And eventually, two guys did come up. They weren't in sheriff's garb. But you could tell they were definitely LEOs. You know, you couldn't get square.
Well, LEOs are what?
Law enforcement officers.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly. And they were standing in the back waiting for something to transpire, I assume. But it was comical, and it was also sad, because these are the people that are administering the laws that are in place to protect our freedoms, and they're treating us like a bunch of criminals preemptively before we even go to court.
Now, how many of those bureaucrats do you think actually think their jobs are to protect our freedoms?
I don't think they even have the concept bouncing around in their cranium that they're supposed to be protecting our freedom. They're protecting the privilege and position of the people that are signing their paychecks is what they're doing. It's
right.
Self-preservation at the highest level. And, again, I mean, I'm not going to court. They couldn't show me in the Illinois Criminal Code. It says that an information has to be verified. A prosecutor has to sign it saying, I believe that he did this or I believe he did this. There is nothing but a copy of a ticket on a computer screen. And, I'm not going to give them jurisdiction by showing up in court on this day going, hey, here I am, what do you want? You know, if I'm not notified lawfully, I don't go. So there's going to be a confrontation on the roadside someplace, because if they pull me over, There is no ticket. There is no warrant. I mean, none of this has happened, and it's all because we give in to them. You know, when they say you must do this, the minute you walk into that court saying, okay, here I am, you've waived any defect in that process because you showed up physically. You've given them your personal body in their court, in their jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Now you ask them, what do you want to do with me? And then we stand there and we take it while they decide what to do with us.
Can't you appear specially?
On criminal cases, you cannot. If this was not, this was a driving without a license ticket from before, and it was done through civil procedure, and I did appear specially in one court and challenged the judge, and he never charged me in court. He never told me what I was being charged with. And when I filed a motion to dismiss for cause, or a motion to replace him for cause, Cowansville dropped the charge because there would have been a hearing on this judge's malfeasance that would have gone on his record. So they drop the charge and refile it as a state charge. Well, apparently the ticket that I was supposed to receive now is the state charge for the same driving without a license ticket. And so there's no special appearance in criminal court. You either appear or you don't, and you know they have to physically grab you and put you in front of a magistrate if the information is not filed properly. So there's only two ways to get you, and one is physically getting you, and the other one is having a verified information or a you know, or some kind of indictment that's been handed down, and they don't indict people for
it. No, we're talking way over the heads of most of these listeners, I think, Mark. Why don't you explain why to the folks why you think that they have no jurisdiction over you?
Well, jurisdiction, one, the court, you had to have committed a what they call a cognizable offense. There has to have been something that you did that the government even has the authority to legislate and control in the first place. So whenever they said that, you know, I drove without a license, they have to, one, you have to be notified that you committed this offense or they believe you committed this offense, and two, that, I mean, that's part of the process. The second part is the jurisdiction. They have to get you into court because otherwise they don't have jurisdiction over your body. They have jurisdiction over the subject. Like, okay, well, the state has the right to regulate, driver's licenses. Fine, but was I in fact a driver? That is still a fact that hasn't been determined. But if they just send you something in the mail, whether or not it's right or wrong, and you put your body in that court saying, okay, here I am, I have this ticket, what is it all about? It doesn't matter if it's a bogus ticket or not. The minute you walk in there and with your warm body in front of that judge and he starts asking you questions, if there's any defect in that ticket, it's gone because they said ignorance of the law is no excuse. And that also means that if you fail to realize that they didn't charge you properly, but you still show up in court to engage them, then it's tough luck, buddy. You should have known that this was a bogus ticket.
Now, when they pulled you over for not having a driver's license, did you have to put up any kind of bond?
No, they actually pulled me over for not having a plate on the front of my truck.
Okay.
And I didn't have a driver's license on me.
Right.
And the cop walks up and he says, I need to see your license. I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And he says, why not? Well, I don't have a license. So we went through this whole thing, and I never showed any ID. I just gave him my name and where I lived. Well, he gets on the radio and calls whoever he calls, and he says, well, the Secretary of State says that your license has been expired for more than 6 months. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess Secretary of State knows me better than I know me. Oh, okay, whatever you say. And he says, well, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. And I said, I expect that much. And he says, well, okay, well, he goes, you understand I can't allow you to drive. And I never did turn my truck off at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, I understand it's not your place to give me permission to drive. And he says, okay, well, here's your ticket. And I said, well, thanks a lot. And he goes, I'm not going to take you into custody or make you post bond. I said, okay, well, I appreciate
that. Well,
that's
interesting. Now, why do you think he didn't do it? Now, most people would think you get pulled over and you've got an expired license that they're going to haul you off if you don't have a bond.
Well, see, where most people make the mistake is they display the license. They didn't have any notification or presumption that I even needed to be licensed because I gave them no information other than my name and my address. When you have an expired license or a suspended license, if you have that article on your person, that driver's license, whether or not it's suspended or expired or what have you, if you show that, that is prima facie evidence that you need a license. And any violation arising from your possession of that license, which is a document controlled and issued by the state, you're exercising their privilege to give you permission to drive, if you have that, they got you. They had the rights.
So you think you think this cop knew that? He knows all this, and that the fact that you did not show any kind of license and identification meant he had no way of hauling you in?
I don't think he had. I think he knew that I was in the right, because he was relying upon me to turn my truck off and sit there when he says I can't allow you to drive. And that's what he was relying upon me to say, oh, okay, well, fine, I'll turn my truck off. But when I said, it's not your place to let me drive, and he finally said, okay, Mr. McCoy, well, I'm going this way, and he points over his shoulder, and he says, and you're going, and I said, whichever way I choose. He goes, okay, have a good day. And I drove off down the street after he told me three times that I can't drive, and now I'm driving.
That's very interesting.
If you don't carry their membership card, you don't carry their permission slips, if you're not going to be exercising their permission. If you're exercising your rights, you need nothing on your person. Now, I don't recommend people like up in Chicago. I hear Chicago cops, I mean, it's a gulag up there in Chicago as far as the cops go. And they'll just shoot you on sight rather than just go drag you to court.
The collar counties aren't much different, I don't think. unfortunately, the whole metro area is a gulag. We're talking with Mark McCoy, who's candidate for governor for the Libertarian Party of Illinois. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. We got a real stand-up free man here, folks. If you'd like to talk to him, give us a call, 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, I know fun. My sister's a nun.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings talking with Mark McCoy. Mark, you got the phones lit up. Let's go to the phones.
One thing, Jim, you asked me what we could do, and I think that any libertarian-minded person out there, there's a big opportunity coming up here. The Illinois Constitution is up for another constitutional convention in 2008. The Constitution of 1970 says that every 20 years it should be considered whether or not we want to have another constitutional convention. And the Illinois Constitution is so flawed, it is such a backwards document, it is so rigged for the preservation of power of the state regulators, that we need to get people who want to be delegates to the next constitutional convention, and we need to be pushing, whenever it comes up for a vote, to vote yes for a new Illinois Constitution.
That's interesting. Of course, a lot of people's fears is that if you have a constitutional convention, they're going to come up with a constitution that's even worse. It's hard to imagine it being worse. I agree with you. I mean, for example, the right to bear arms in the Illinois Constitution says the right to bear arms, only subject to the police power, is to be preserved. Or what? I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But they have that conditional clause, only subject to the police power. So I guess that means if the police power says no right to bear arms, you have no right to bear arms.
Well, I've got a website up called IllinoisConstitution.org, and I'm going to be putting I've got the 1818, 1848, 1870, and 1970 constitutions that I'm going to be going through and detailing the differences between them and where we went wrong, and also asking or informing people how they can become delegates. And I'm going to be dissecting all of the previous Illinois constitutions, as well as going up to Springfield and getting actual copies of the original, so we have those in hand, because there are differences in spelling and punctuation that took place in 1970 that people dismiss as being just inconsequential. But we actually have two different constitutions. There's a constitution for Illinois, or the state of Illinois, and then there's a constitution for the corporate, federal, municipality, state of Illinois. And that is where the police power comes in, because Illinois is no longer a sovereign state in respect to the federal government, because now we're an administrative municipality of federal jurisdiction. And that may sound weird, but I can prove it, and it's all in there. And some of the delegates from the last convention didn't even realize what they were doing. So all I can say is that be looking for that, because we need another constitution in Illinois, because this one has helped to put us where we're at today.
Okay, Mark, let's go to the phones. We've got Tom. Hi, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for the open and free speech, both of you. I've been harping on the same subject about the core criminal elements of the various police departments working in conjunction with the elected officials from the two parties. In Illinois, we call them the Combine or the Criminal Combine. I just was wondering a couple questions. Do you feel that there is a core criminal element in many of these police departments that work with the corrupt politicians in both the Collar Counties and in Cook County? Do you feel that's a true statement?
I believe it is, yes.
I try to get as much airtime as I can. I'm a truck driver, and I go from New York to Atlanta. They shot a 92-year-old woman, broke into her home, shot her in New York. We're all the way.
No knock warrants. No, she thought she had guns so she could protect herself against people breaking into her house.
Georgia neighborhood, and they attacked her. The New York. Well, I see the police criminal activity, coast to coast. And we've recently had a former Los Angeles deputy chief point the finger and expose the Chicago Police Department for the criminal operation that it is and it can be in many respects. And I just wondered what you thought about bringing the police departments into the 2000th century. Full random mandatory process, drug testing, five-step screening, just like all the military sensitive, all the transportation jobs. I'll sign off with, we'll drug test high school students and we'll drug test forklift drivers, but we won't drug test the men and women who are killing our citizens out here. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
I don't think anybody who's been out there experiencing this stuff would refute that. And, I mean, it is a game that protects the officers. I mean, there are some guys that are conscientious that go into this believing they're doing, you know, the people's work and protecting our freedoms. But at some point, I think a lot of these guys get weeded out, you know, through, like, you know, the Serpico syndrome. Some say, you know, idealistic, but, you know, the power eventually gets to them. And I don't know how to address that. Maybe drug testing is a way. I think, you know, harsh criminal penalties for these guys, mandatory, very harsh sentences for infringing upon another person's freedom or person. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it has to be done, you know, through the Constitution, because the people need some teeth in protecting themselves. And right now we have nothing. We've got, you know, rubber bullets against, you know, M16s.
All right, let's move on. Hi, Norb. How you doing? Norb?
Yeah. Ken?
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, I just got a question for your guest there. With the dollar plummeting against other world currencies and that, and I really do personally feel that we're heading in for an economic problem, major problem. I just wanted to know what your guest's opinion is on it, and what's the best thing that the individual can do to protect their own personal assets.
Well, it begins, I mean, the Federal Reserve has helped to put us where we're at. And right now the only thing that's really keeping us afloat is the willingness of China and the Far East to be buying U.S. debt. But I think they're starting to see the writing on the wall, and they are starting to move away from U.S. dollars, for lack of a better word. But, you know, it's all of the United States, you know, fiat, you know, Federal Reserve-backed currency. And
if I could just interject, Mark and Norm, this has to be the biggest secret in the United States that over the last, I'm not sure, I think it's the last year, I'm not sure the period of time, I think it's over the last year, the U.S. dollar has lost a third of its wealth, or whatever, it is vis-a-vis the euro dollar. A third.
The greenback is down 50% versus the euro in the past 5 years, and it's down 6% versus the yen.
Okay.
Personally, I don't use banks. There's too much availability for tracking and, you know, quick confiscation with them. I believe in gold. I mean, that's my personal belief, because it's got, you know, intrinsic value, and when the paper is no longer worth anything, it's going to have a lot of bargaining and a lot of power as far as, you know, dealing with other people, because it means something. I don't know what the answer is, unless we abolish the Fed, but, you know, the Fed feeds the beast that is Congress, and...
Yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
No soon, huh?
Do you see the problem, though, happening? Do you see it coming?
Oh, yeah. It's breaching the horizon now. I mean, it's here. They've already got us scared for our safety, you know, with 9/11 and everything else, but, you know, the coup d'etat, or the coup de grace, is whenever they, you know, whenever it comes after your personal property, your money, your wealth, you know, what you've worked for, when that becomes an issue, be looking for people to go clamoring to government to save them and protect them, when government is the one that initiated and orchestrated the whole event.
Thank you. Mr. McCoy, you're a brilliant person. I mean, you're right on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Norm. Okay, we've got Tim next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mark. Appreciate your standing up. I think Trucker Tom brought out something, and Ken talked about it early on, and that is about the police state. I think you can tie this together in recognizing that what we have here in our country right now is a civil war. It's a civil war between those who want a police state and those who don't want a police state. Now, right now it is civil, but they use the weaponry, they use the tactics of violence against those of us who don't want that. And if we don't wake up pretty soon and start considering some options, we might find ourselves in a position where we're trying to play catch-up. Now, Mark, your situation, you live where?
Collinsville.
Down in Collinsville. Okay, you're still in a kind of a metro area, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
you were very, very fortunate. I've taken all your arguments, and I'm talking about whether or not it's an Article III court. I'm talking about the CAPUS, which is where they grab you and hold you for ransom, otherwise known as kidnapping. I've taken the definitions of driving and that the current definition of driving is a commercial activity. I've taken all the right to travel issues all the way to the Seventh Circuit where they said the arguments are frivolous. So I'm not the only one. There's many, many others who have done the same kinds of things. Basically, what it comes down to is that the courts are corrupt, and I think Trucker Tom is absolutely right that there's a criminal enterprise. It's organized crime that's going on, is being perpetrated by our friends and neighbors and even some family members. And the problem comes down to is that you've heard of Richard Dreyfuss, right?
Oh, yeah.
Recently he started to – he went on Bill Maher's show and
I saw that.
60 Minutes last night did a thing where we don't have civics classes anymore. And you touched on that. These kids are not even taught what – the country is founded on, the principles it was founded on, the reasons that we fought, or our forefathers fought the Revolutionary War. None of these things are coming out. And it's, you're right, we need a strong education thing, but we need a two-prong approach. One is that our friends and countrymen and those who think they want a police state, they need to be in the same position of jeopardy. And what that comes into is transparency and accountability in government. And it's the two-prong approach is we have to educate people as to what the government is supposed to be, how limited it is supposed to be, and I think you're on the right track, but at the same time, we don't want to find ourselves in the position that Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about when he wrote the Gulag Archipelago, where they said how they burned in the camps, thinking about what if when their Gestapo, if you will, came to arrest people in the middle of the night, if they had met them with whatever weaponry they had on hand, and those people didn't return to their homes, if they knew going out and arresting citizens on small issues and even that they were going to meet with resistance and possibly deadly force. Well, we don't need to go to that point. We can stop these things now by demanding complete transparency and accountability.
And on that, Tim, I got a break. I'm running late. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings and thank you for your support.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Thank you.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back at Freedom Rings, and right up to the end, Mark. Thank you very much for being on the show today, and then good luck in your endeavors in freedom.
Thanks for having me, Ken. And if anybody wants to contact me about the Constitution issue or whatever, I mean, just go to markmccoy.com or illinoisconstitution.org. I mean, you got some pretty intelligent callers out there, good questions, and you're doing a good job there, Kenny. Keep on spreading the word.
Thank you very much, Mark. Take care. All right, this is from Anonymous. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.